Please be seated. If you've got your Play-Doh for the children, you might need your Play-Doh again as I read this story from Luke chapter 4 of when Jesus was tempted. Let me read it. Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So as we explore that together, if there's children watching, you may want to take your Play-Doh and think about bread. I want you to have your Play-Doh to make your favorite meal. I want you to think about, as the devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, I want to see what's the most thing that you want for Christmas, and I want you to make that with your Play-Doh. And then finally, he took him to the highest tower, and I want you to make a highest tower out of your Play-Doh. So you've got some things to make with your Play-Doh as we look at this passage together. This incident happened just before Jesus went into the temple. And when he went into the temple, as we've been looking at this series, Jesus stood up and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus stood up and said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And I want to proclaim today that Jesus is good news. He's good news because he doesn't give us a 12-step program. He's good news because he doesn't give us a way to live. He's good news because he sets us free. Sets us free from the prisons we find ourselves in. And he sets us free from being oppressed. That's the good news. And as we look through the Gospels, we see how Jesus set people free. He set them free from their physical sicknesses, but we see time and time again he set people free from the demonic influences that people had on their lives. And as we come today, I want us to look a little bit at how Jesus sets us free and how he releases us from the things that oppress us. And I want to explore God's word, and it'd be remiss of me not to cover this when we look at Luke's gospel about how Jesus overcomes demonic forces. We live in an age which tries to separate out the transcendent spiritual and the empirical science. And we live in a world that tries to separate them out. And we believe and we recognize as Christians that there is a spiritual world out there, spiritual forces out there, and we must avoid being involved in these demonic and spiritual forces. And that is absolutely true. And actually, we need to be more careful, because actually in our world, as people are finding the empirical science isn't working for them, they're looking more and more to the more overt spiritual and transcendent forces. And they're messing around with spiritual and demonic forces that they know nothing about. I don't know whether you saw on the news that for Halloween in Poundland, you can get a Ouija board called a spirit board for a pound. There is this desire to enter into these spiritual forces, and I don't know whether Poundland, they were joking a bit about it, whether they actually don't understand these spiritual forces that we can open ourselves up to. But more and more, as people are worried about death and the future, they are looking towards these spiritual guides, these spiritual forces that can enslave them, that are demonic. And we need to be aware that they are real. And we need to recognize there is a rise of them. I'm particularly concerned over young people. I hear some young people sharing that there are some games that they play on the internet or on sleepovers. I think one's called Red Door, Yellow Door or something like that. And it involves them to be guided into their minds. And we have to be careful that there are these demonic spiritual forces that we need to turn away from and avoid. And recognize there's a rise in that. But on one level, if we just thought of the demonic as those occultic experiences or those practices, almost as Christians, it's easy to think, well, that's all right, I avoid that and I'm okay. But as I read the Gospels, we see that it's not as if there's one level that is the spiritual and one that's the empirical. There is this middle tier where we live in a world where there are spiritual forces around us of evil. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that in Mark's Gospel, a quarter of all healings were attributed to the demonic. There are spiritual forces around. That's why Paul says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. There is a spiritual world. And we see it in the Bible that often talked about this evil in the form of the world, the flesh and the devil. The world, 1 John tells us, comes with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the lust and the pride of life. That the world puts out there things that we should lust after and seek after, that we should give into our fleshly desires. We should go for material things and fill ourselves with what we need. And we need to aim for the greatest success in ourselves. And the world draws us away. And the Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the world. And the world taps our fleshly evil desires that we battle. Because God is not in control of our fleshly desires, we give in to the pressures of the world. As we are tempted, as we said, God doesn't tempt us, but our temptation comes when our desires overthrow us. And we give in. But finally, there is a devil that seeks to destroy us, who wants to kill us, who wants to destroy our lives. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, deliver us from, not evil, from the evil one. And we recognize there is a devil. But the good news is that Jesus proclaims freedom to the prisoners, And he sets the oppressed free. We have to recognize that there is this spiritual world out there, but we need to know that we can be free and we can be released from it. And that's the good news. And we need to begin to recognize how we can overcome the work of the devil. The devil, in this account with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I used to read this account in Luke and actually imagined a real devil figure come to Jesus. That's how I read it. And if you look at any of the, and I was trying to find a cartoon to show the children, and they all do that. They all get this devil and they try and personify him and look in different ways, not quite the thorns and the talons and the whatever, but different images. But the more I read this passage and the more that I see the work of how the devil works, I don't think there was. Now, you may say I'm heretical, and there may well have been. I'm not saying there wasn't. But my view is that actually the devil works by putting thoughts into our mind. He incited David to take a census. Jesus said to Judas, Satan has put this into you. It seems to me that it's our minds that Satan can put thoughts into that tempt us. And he can put those desires and those thoughts into us that we can give into and be led astray. And so the world, the flesh and the devil, they're sort of all sort of overlink. Because the devil is the ruler of the world, of the air. He tempts us with our fleshly desires. And he can speak into our mind. There is a real spiritual force. There is a real battle out there. We have a real enemy. That's the bad news. But I want to be honest with you, because that's what Scripture teaches, and it wouldn't be fair if I just demythologized it and covered it up, but that's what Scripture teaches. But the good news is that Jesus stood up and says, I can proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. That we don't need to fear the devil. We don't need to fear these spiritual forces because Jesus has come to set us free. And so I want to quickly look at three ways that we can know that freedom over these powers that seek to lie to us, deceive us, and destroy us, and how we can know victory in our lives. And whether you've been involved in occult practices or involved in things you shouldn't, or whether you've just given in to the lies of Satan and given in to your fleshly desires and become addicted to sin, or whether you've just not managed to take all your thoughts captive, whatever level you're at, the answer is the same. And it's found, I believe, in this passage of Jesus' temptation in John verse 4. The first thing we, in Luke 4, the thing we need to know if we want to know that we are free, completely free, the first thing we need to rely on is the work of Christ, what Jesus has done. Because what I want to tell you from Luke 4 is often the way the temptation of Jesus is taught, and it's not completely wrong because we'll come back to it in a minute. Often the way it's taught is that actually, like, if we can be like Jesus and like Jesus overcame the devil, if we manage to use his word correctly and resist him, we can overcome. But I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem particularly good news. Because it means I've still got to battle and face the evil one. Doesn't sound like good news to me. When Jesus came, he says, I've set you free. And so when we see the temptation of Jesus, what we're actually seeing here is Jesus overcome, not just for him, but for all of humanity. That when Jesus overcame these temptations, they were significant because they were the same similar temptations to which Adam and Eve failed at. They gave in to their lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. They gave in. Satan tempted them and they gave in and they fell. But the good news is Jesus was tempted just like them, but overcame. Luke also allows us to see that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Seems a bit strange that Jesus is led to be tempted by Satan. Does the Spirit lead us to be tempted? No, he doesn't. But he did for Jesus, because it is reminding us that as the people of God, not just Adam and Eve, but as the people of God were led into the wilderness because they were tempted and they failed in the wilderness. They gave in, and particularly where Jesus quotes, he quotes from Deuteronomy, where the people were in the wilderness and how the people should have overcome, but they didn't. They moaned at the manna. They went outside God's will. They wanted everything without coming to God. And so, therefore, Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy. And it's as it were, he's saying, as Adam and Eve failed, and as Israel failed, Jesus has overcome. And that's the good news, that Jesus overcame. He overcame. And so we can be free from the influence of evil and the evil one in our lives. We don't have to give in to the evil, because Jesus has set us free. He's released us. And ultimately what the temptation was for Jesus that Satan gave him for was for him to be the Messiah without going to the cross. That ultimately was the temptation. Because Luke records it. All the world has been given to me. All the kingdoms of the world given to me. And I can give them to you if you bow down to me. You'd be the Messiah without having to go through the cross. Take him to the pinnacle. Throw yourself down. You can prove that you're the Son of God, not by your death and resurrection, but prove it by throwing yourself down and everyone go, yes, you're the Son of God. Because Satan knew that the way he will be defeated is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the good news. That we don't need to worry about evil, the devil, the world, the flesh, the spiritual forces. Though I raise them, we're not going to talk about them anymore because they're defeated. They're done. Paul says Jesus has made a public spectacle of them. They are now a laughingstock. It is not even as when Jesus was on earth. They have even less power because they are a laughingstock. They have been defeated at the cross of Jesus. We can laugh at the devil because he's defeated, he's overcome, he has no power, he has no authority, because Jesus has won the victory. And that's why it's good news. You don't have to defeat the devil because he is defeated. Jesus has won the victory. He is defeated. He has lost. He has no power. And that is why it is good news. And it is the work of Christ. This follows Jesus' baptism. Luke 3 talks about Jesus' baptism, and then he goes straight to be tempted. Because I tell you, his baptism is very significant. Jesus was baptized to identify with us. He was perfect. He was sinless. He didn't need to be baptized. But he was baptized so he could identify with us. And can I tell you a very important truth? You are baptized so you can identify with Christ. Jesus was baptized so he could identify with humanity and overcome. And we are baptized so that we identify with Christ and his victory. As Paul says in Ephesians, we are now seated in the heavenly realms, far above all power and authority. We are in Christ. And in our baptism, we identify with Jesus and his victory. The devil has no power or control over your life. He is defeated. The work of Christ has done it. So let's not be afraid of spiritual powers and demonic activity and any of these things. Because Jesus is victory and we are in Christ. But that's why baptism is so important. I was great at the Andy Flute testimony. I don't know whether you saw that, but he had been involved with demonic and alcoholism, and I believe addiction is very demonic, but there are other forms, and he got himself to a lower low, and he went to commit suicide. At his lowest point, he called a friend who called a pastor, and they prayed for him because he knew he needed to be free. And Jesus set him free. And then he said to me, he said, you know what, then the pastor said I needed to be baptized straight away. He knew I needed to be baptized, which was sort of a strange thing to say. But then I reflected on it. And that pastor was spot on. Because when we're baptized, we are identifying with Christ. As Christ identified with us, we are identifying with him, and he is in Christ, and he is now seated in the heavenly realms. Jesus in Luke's gospel tells the parable of the man who was overcome with demonic powers and how he was set free and he cleaned out his house. But then how the demonic influence came back. Because there's no point just sorting out our lives unless there is a stronger man, a greater power in our lives, unless we are in Christ. And so therefore, if you haven't been baptized, can I really encourage you to do that? Because Jesus was baptized to identify with us, but you need to be baptized to identify with him so that you are in Christ, far above all rulers and powers and authorities. Because we are victorious. Satan has no authority over you at all. He has no power in your life. You can be free. And if you've been involved in occultic activity, if you've been involved with wrong thoughts or activities, just come to Jesus. And he'll free you. And you'll be in Christ. The work of Christ means that we have overcome. The second way we overcome is through the witness of the Spirit. Because when Jesus was baptized, what was said over him? You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And then what did Satan say to Jesus every time? If you are the Son of God, you're not really the Son of God. If you are. And ultimately, that's the way Satan comes to tempt us. He has no authority on life. He cannot have any power or authority in your life. He can just speak to you and say, you're not really a Christian. You're not really a child of God. You're not really in Christ. You're not really loved by God. God doesn't really love you. He knows all what you're like. He knows what you've done. He's not really forgiven everything. If. And we get to doubt. And as we doubt, all these thoughts and fears come in, and we begin to listen to the lies of the evil one. He has no authority over us. But we begin to listen to his lies. And that's why it's so important that we have the witness of the Spirit, that we know that we are children of God. That as the Spirit comes upon us, he says, you are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Never let Satan take that from you. You're a child of God. You're loved of God. God is for you. The goodness of God will overtake you. You're a child of God. You're loved. You're special. You're protected. You're provided for. God is your Father. And that's how we overcome. By the witness of the Spirit. By knowing who we are. think it was Jacques Rousseau who says, man was born free and is everywhere in chains. We might argue that phrase. But can I say, Christians are born again free, but in everywhere chains. Why are they in chains? Because they've listened. If you are the Son of God, if you are a child of God, if God really loves you, you wouldn't let that happen. If God is for you, what's going on? We need the witness of the Spirit. You're a child of God. He's for you. He gave his Son for you. How will he not graciously give you all things? The witness of the Spirit. We need to move on. Time is going. The third thing we need to know freedom. Freedom from evil is the work of Christ, the witness of the Spirit, but finally the word of the Father. The Bible, the words of God are important. Jesus overcame with the truth of the Scripture. Jesus overcame with God's word. And if we're going to protect ourselves from being drawn away by giving in to temptation, if we're going to protect ourselves, we need to come back to God's word, the word of the Father. And if there is a truth in this word, we need to believe it. So when God says he loves you, he's your Father, he's for you, believe it. When he says nothing can separate you from his love, believe it. The truth is God is good and loving and faithful all the time. Believe it. We need to believe the truth. Our battle with Satan, as Neil Anderson says, is not a power encounter, it's a truth encounter. The truth of what God says. If there's a promise, claim it. This is God's word. And if there is a promise in Scripture, we read that Paul says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And shall I tell you something? Because of the work of Christ, if you've been baptized, you are in Christ. So all the promises of God are yours. If there's a truth, believe it. If there's a promise, claim it. And if there's a commandment, obey it. God's commandments are there for our good. God's commandments are there so that we can have life in all its fullness. God's commandments are so that we can be protected from the evil one. Because I've overcome the evil one through the work of Christ, through the witness of the Spirit. But if I decide to get involved in occultic activity, I'm going to get myself messed up because I'm not following the word, the command of Christ to avoid all evil. If I'm knowing overcome the work of Christ in my life and the witness of the Spirit, but if I give in temptation and go and have an affair or go and watch things on the internet I shouldn't, I'm going to be messed up. I'm going to give a stronghold. I'm going to allow the enemy to get a stronghold into my life or to make me captive. And Paul talks about, even to Christians, how the devil can get a stronghold, how he can make us captive with wrong teaching. That actually, if we're not following God's commands, then we're opening ourselves up. But the good news is that there is still victory if we come back, if we come back in repentance, if we come back and trust in the work of Christ, if we come back and restore our relationship and know that we're children of God, then we can remove the strongholds from our lives. So as we draw to a close, I just want you to think of this passage. To recognize our battle is not against flesh and blood, but there is a spiritual force. We are in a battle. We do have an enemy. The enemy is the world, our flesh, and the devil. But we don't need to be afraid. Because Jesus has overcome and he can proclaim freedom in your life. And if you come to Jesus, if you confess he is Lord and believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead, he will proclaim freedom in your life. And you can be free. You then need to know the filling of God's Spirit, that you can know the witness of God's Spirit, that you're a child of God. And that you're loved and you're in Christ. And then you need to live, not on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is what we believe. If it's a truth, believe it. If it's a promise, claim it. And if it's a command, obey it. And you will live free. And you will not need to fear the evil one. And you can know freedom. And that freedom, in some cases, will bring physical healing as well. That freedom will overcome oppression. And that freedom will know that God is with you and for you. And whatever you face, whatever trials and troubles you go through, however much you struggle with the weakness of your body and humanity, know that as you rely on the work of Christ, as you rely on the witness of the Spirit, as you rely on the Word of God, you will be victorious in the name of Jesus. So let's come as we prepare to take communion together and declare that this is the way we fight our battles. Because we're surrounded by God. But as we come to prepare communion, as we sing this song, perhaps there are things you need just to repent of. Strongholds that you've given to the evil one. Maybe there are some practices you've been involved with which are not of the Spirit of God and maybe other spirits, and you need to repent of that. Perhaps sexual immorality is something you just need to come and repent of. Or wrong thoughts or gossip. Or wrong teachings. When you've relied on other ways and worldly wisdom and not on the Word of God. Let's just come. And let's come to this table knowing there is freedom at this table because of the work of Christ. But let us come recognizing our need of freedom as we sing this song together. Thanks, Rachel.